Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started, but metaphorically.
Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one with one on the way.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. Shaylee, before I used FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, I did this awkward thing. I'm so awkward.
I know.
I'd wait like 24 hours after I sent an invoice, and then I'd be like, hey, I just wanted to make sure my email went through. I've been having some server issues.
I don't know how emails work.
Because I'm having problems, not you. You're perfect. It's me. It's probably on my end. I don't know. Whatever. But did you get that? I just want to make sure you got that in my problem.
That sounds really clear.
Uh-huh.
That's good. The all-new FreshBooks is ridiculously easy to use. When you email a client an invoice, FreshBooks can show you whether or not they've seen it. So it puts an end to the guessing game and puts an end to whatever that was that Katie used to do. Guys, FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners. Just go to FreshBooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
FreshBooks, it's not me, it's you.
You're
but it's
perfect.
Mainly you, because you haven't paid me yet, and I know, because I know how emails work.
Hey, I waited 3 months to send you an invoice, and now I'm going to wait 24 hours to see if,
right,
why you haven't paid it.
I selected the due on receipt.
Welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. Now, Shaylee, of all the topics that we've been talking about, this one feels most literal to our turning the lemons into lemonade. That's kind of what we're talking about here.
Literally.
Well, not literally. It's a
literally movie. Not literally. Okay. So I'm excited.
I know. We're going to be talking about what is in your control, how to kind of take control of your life.
Take control of what you can take control of?
Well, recognize what you're in control of and what you're not.
Ooh.
I just want to empower you to, I don't know, just be positive, I guess. Truly.
Okay.
It's going to be about positivity.
What are you trying to say? I'm just kidding.
I'm going to challenge you.
Me listeners. Trying to be acting.
That was good. I
Thank
believed you.
You
and I was
Were
like, oh, no.
Oh, she's mad.
And then I have a fake sponsor that you don't know about.
Okay.
I'm saving it for this moment.
Oh, I'm excited.
Okay. This episode is brought to you by CarWrex. I got in a car wreck yesterday.
What? Did you yesterday?
Yeah. So,
Katie.
5 days ago, I was at the library and someone hit my car while it was parked.
I remember you telling me about that.
And the branch manager came over and had to figure out whose car it was. And then she's like, we got it on camera. We have his driver's license. If you want to press charges, like, here's the police report. And I'm like, I don't know.
And then you're so confrontational. Like, it didn't, like, hurt my car too much, but he didn't hit it with a vehicle and drive away.
But he did hit it with a vehicle and drive away.
Right.
And it was scraped, but not, like, dented. Anyway, I showed it to my husband, and he's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just fine. We kind of buffed it out a little bit. Okay.
Was he like, what would Jesus do? And you're like, walk?
No. On water. And then yesterday, someone ran a red light and hit me.
No!
And that's never happened to me before. I got really scared because I was like, wait.
Like, sideswiped your van?
Yeah. So
Katie.
I was turning left at a green arrow. But then what's funny is I've never dealt with someone before who, when they got out of the car, I was like waiting for them to be like, oh my gosh, here's my insurance.
I'm
like,
so sorry.
I cannot believe I was on my phone or something. Like, whatever.
Right.
They got out of their car and they looked at their damage and they crossed their arms and they said, what do you think? And I go, oh, I think you ran a red light. And she goes, in my opinion, just like a 65-year-old woman.
Don't like this woman.
In my opinion, it was still yellow. So I went probably a little too late and
you went a little too early.
Which Zach, who I saw immediately after because we were picking our kids up, he goes, you know those pesky green lights that turn too early? You know how they turn green while the other one's still yellow?
Right. I feel like you accelerating when your light's about to turn red, the odds of you overextending that exertion
versus
is gonna
going
to be different than me like thinking, you know, it's still red, but I have a feeling it's going to
be
green. I'm going to go ahead and accelerate now.
Go for it.
Oh
anyway,
goodness.
No one got hurt.
Right. That's 100% her fault.
It was 100% her fault. She's like, well, do you want to call the police? And I was like, well, I need to go pick my kids up. I don't know. I don't think I handled it right. But
did
within
you,
five
wait.
Days, I'm just, Shaylee, I'm just trying to live my life.
Hold on. Did you get her insurance information?
I got all the info. And again,
did
it
you have any witnesses?
No. but I have her opinion.
I am so, I'm like boiling inside.
But
for
I
you.
Showed Jared, and he's like, again, I don't see it. He goes, well, how did you get in 2 wrecks in 5 days where I can barely see the damage? I'm like, so there you go. Like,
it's a not, minivan, right?
It's fine and whatever. But I have her info if I decide I just want to get real fired up. But I'm like, I don't really want to deal with it. Like, I don't know. Anyway, also my other car has been broken into 2 separate times. So I'm like, am I just a cursed, like, no, that's the mindset I don't want to talk about on this.
Okay.
Episode.
Am I cursed? No,
I'm not cursed, but isn't that weird in 5 days that I got hit and one was the top left and the other was the back right. And I was like, can I say it did a 360 in the middle of this very low impact and just take care of both?
What I don't like is if you claim it, then the insurance people are going to investigate both sides. And then she's going to be like,
I know.
Miley was still,
it's just one of those annoying. Tricky lights. I know. So I was like, oh, I don't know how to deal with someone who's not. Like
admitting, which it says right. on the back of the insurance, never admit fault. And I'm like, but if you ran the red, like when I rear-ended someone, I'm like, I realize my insurance card says never admit fault, but we're all clear that you slammed on your brakes and I didn't stop fast enough and hit you from behind. Like,
so
no
we
way
need
to,
some taglines for car wrecks. Car wrecks. I'm just trying to live my life, people.
Oh my goodness. Car wrecks. I believe you. I'm sure you totally have insurance, guy.
Yeah.
He didn't.
That'll be fine.
He didn't.
Mm. All right. Thanks, car wrecks. Okay. So what is in my control? A car wreck? No, it wasn't.
In my my situation, I was in control of one of them.
Because you were the wreckie.
I rear-ended.
Yeah. Which usually I'm like...
Then you know what I did? I immediately crossed my arms and I said, what do you think?
What do you think? What do we do here?
What do we do here?
What do we do about those pesky red lights?
I
suggestions?
Think that you reversed and hit me is what I think.
That's what I think.
That's what I said. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on. What is in my control? Not a car wreck if you get hit by someone.
Okay, so I just want to talk a little bit about mindset. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about the word victim a little bit.
Right? Okay.
You can kind of go through life acting like life is just sort of happening to you and that it's at your expense, or you can recognize what you do have control over and do that part as well as you can and let go of the rest. And I want to start this off with a quote. Happiness is an attitude. We either make ourselves miserable or happy and strong. The amount of work is the same.
Ooh.
Francesca,
so you're saying
Regler.
It could, like, my life's happening to me versus, like...
Yeah, or just... so I'm going to give you some examples. I actually went through and started writing down some bummers.
So which excited for this,
is a
Katie?
Weird thing to do.
Okay.
Because it's, like, counterintuitive of what I'm talking about, but I wanted to have
okay.
examples.
Okay.
Normally, I would write down what I'm grateful for, but for this exercise, I had to write down some bummers.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw one more quote at you.
Cool. I'm ready.
Incredible change happens in your life when you decide to take control of what you do have power over instead of craving control over what you don't.
Can I point out for the listeners?
Steve Maraboli.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep talking through the names of the
That's okay.
quotes. Say the name.
Steve Maraboli.
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah. Her.
We're recording this right after my home reno update. I'm just like throwing this out for context. So if I'm like extra passionate, I wish we would have done this one first. Okay. Proceed.
It's good. It's real life.
Proceed.
Okay.
Proceed.
Okay, so I'm just going to write down, I just wrote down some bummers. Okay. I had this little dream growing up that I thought it would be just like the most ideal situation to either live in like a walkable town or city. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that you could like walk to the corner grocery store and then walk home and put your groceries away. Like that is the dream to me. Like where you wave at your neighbor on
Beauty
the front
and the
porch.
Beast. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. And everyone's saying bonjour. I don't know where it
bonjour.
Came from.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Like,
but they're speaking English, right?
And do those places even really exist? Probably not. But then when I went to college in Springfield, the very first place I ever lived in a house, we're going to call the neighborhood Pleasantville. Because to me, it is just dreamy. So
okay.
like it's kind
it
of like
dreamy.
An old-fashioned, everyone has a front porch. Everyone walks everywhere. I swear to you, in the fall, the leaves are more colorful. Like it is the dreamiest little neighborhood. And it happens to be where Jared and I lived our very first year of marriage, Pleasantville. It's not really called that, but I don't want to.
For the safety of those involved.
For the safety of those involved.
Podcast. If people live in Springfield, they're like, yeah, no. Yeah, probably could
exactly.
narrow it down.
So one of my little bit of a bummers is that my husband and I don't share that same beautiful vision. We got to live there for 1 year together. I watched my dog every day. It was dreamy. And then we moved out to some land. So there's 1,000 great things about living on land. I could list all of those right now. But my closest friends happen to live in Pleasantville, and my podcast host is renovating a house in Pleasantville.
Mm-hmm. And is I'd fake name it something different right now, but
is going to live and share a back fence with our mutual great friend. Yes, and that is like the dream. I mean, like, that's my actual dream. And not only that, but there's a corner grocery store. There's a corner coffee shop. There is
a taco place,
restaurants opening up. Okay, so there's a couple different emotions happening here. The lower self of me would be like, the first thing would be like FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Like, oh, they're going to
start a podcast together.
They're going to the backyard again.
So wait. Okay.
We'll work on that later. But I don't get to do that. And they do. And they're going to be close friends. And they're going to get to walk to this thing. And it's going to be so dreamy for them. And that's not my dream. And I could even spiral into like, why don't I get to do my dream? And why doesn't Jared and I have the same dream? They're both of them and they have the same dream as their husbands and whatever. You could go to like a creepy place, I guess, like a sad place.
Unhealthy
place there. My higher self would say, I really love Shaylee and I really love Jen. And wow, I'm really glad that they get to have a good life experience.
And now when I've seen one of them, I can pop over and see the other one.
Okay, so those are just to deal with it. But then let's take it a step further. What is actually in my control of the situation? It is actually not possible for me to move to Pleasantville. It's not. I barked up that tree. It did not happen.
Because Jared's idea of like, everyone's on their front porch waving and walking. And he's like, why is everyone so close?
Right. When he grew up on a farm. And also, we compromise because we now live close to town on land. And our property is absolutely dreamy.
Totally.
It's great. Like, I'm not, please don't think like, no, I'm stuck in some, it's like a dreamy, dreamy land. It's someone else's
Katie's first really choice. Katie's really roughing it. Just those ugly, ugly trees on her property.
But here's what's interesting is throughout this researching, finding childcare thing, it turned out that the actual most logical, best option for me, both financially and schedule-wise, is the program that takes place right in the middle of Pleasantville. And it also, it's located in Pleasantville. And it also is where my good friend Jen takes her kids. So now what's strange is I have a piece of Pleasantville 5 days a week. I go there to drop my kids off and I go there to take my kids home. So my dream of meeting up with Jen or Shaylee to go take a dreamy walk down the sidewalks of Pleasantville.
In our neighborhood 2 days a week.
I do that with Jen. I have done that many times with Jen already. We meet early and we walk there. Or I go hang out with Shaylee to record a podcast and we walk over to the coffee shop and walk back. So I get a taste of that. And you know, what's funny is like when you put something on a pedestal as like, I'll never do that. You hype it up so much and you can like, you can almost create this false sense of like, no, but it's like the most magical thing in the world. When you start incorporating it into your day, you're going, oh, that's fun. It's not worth like,
it's not
fighting my marriage every day.
Changing my life.
Right, right. But it's great. And guess what? You can actually drive your car really anywhere you want to go and take a walk in any neighborhood you'd like to.
Right. My aunt and uncle used to park their car in front of our house and like go ride their bikes through our neighborhood. So they're perfectly fine riding bikes through their neighborhood. So it's like, walk where you want to walk. Exactly. And especially you have like six good friends who live in Pleasantville.
I know. And Pleasantville is where we go trick-or-treating because you go to all the front porches all at once. So you can have a piece of the thing you crave, even if it's not the like the number one choice. You don't have to like say, well, then I never get to do it. Woe is me. And now I'm mad at anyone.
I don't even want to do it. It's like ruining it. Like you could ruin it and be like, I don't even want to drive to that neighborhood because I can't live there. And
right.
I'm mad at everyone who does live there. And exactly. I don't even walk anywhere. It's like, well, now you're really missing out.
Right.
On everything.
And like the idea, the dream that like, oh, when you get to just kind of casually say hi to Jen, which is fun. I get to do that every time we drop our kids off. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
See Jen more than I do being her next door neighbor at this point.
Well, yeah, you're not, you don't live there yet, but anyway.
Thanks. Thanks for rubbing it in.
Yeah.
I can't control it. Yes, I can.
Okay. And so then just here's like a couple other examples. I really wanted to have like a 16th birthday party. So I threw myself a 16th birthday party.
The quinceañera.
I can see it. No, that's Sierra.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Quinceañera. 15th? No, that's 15th. Not 16th. Okay.
Yeah.
I tried. I stretched.
You nailed it. This one's kind of embarrassing just a little bit, but I'm going to own it.
Please do. I
was trying to get more local business, and I thought, oh, if I could get this local award, mm-hmm. I might be able to be more prominent in this area because I'd only been traveling for photography.
Network.
I don't have any coworkers to nominate me for said award. So I asked Jared to nominate me for this award, and I got it. But I think a lot of people will sit in the corner with their arms crossed and say, well, no one threw me a 16th birthday, or, well, no one nominated me. Like, there was, like, a lot of people who were like, I've always wanted to be nominated for that award. I'm like, well, fill out the form.
Let me give let me let you in on a little secret. 90% of those people ask somebody to nominate
them. Yeah, and you know what? Jeff Houghton is a local guy, and he said, even to me, he goes, I say never like, take any flack for throwing your name in a hat, because a lot of you are freelancers and you don't have big corporations that are going to have managers that are like, oh, this would be good for the business. So just, you've got to sometimes just make it work because it's free advertising and it's,
and you're not paying yourself. It's not like you're paying to get the award. Right. It's like they still have to pick you for it. So
exactly. So throw your name in the hat. If you want your name to be in the hat, don't wait for someone to pick up on that, read all those cues, and then nominate you for you.
Unless you have two really good friends named Michelle and Katie, and they nominate you for the same award.
But later. You know what's true, too, is I, the same award, because I did that and I did feel a little weird about it, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out of my way to try to nominate other people for this, because really I'm in the freelance game going, oh, they probably benefit from that. Anyway.
That's really sweet.
Okay, so then, speaking of parties, if you didn't get invited to something, or you couldn't, you got invited and you couldn't go. Again, there's this phenomenon called FOMO.
Fear
of missing out. It's very real. I think almost, even introverts, I think, have it.
Like, I don't want to be there, but I still don't want to watch it happen.
Yeah. This is what I love more than anything in the world, is if you see a group of people standing around at work and they're talking about where they're going to go to lunch, instead of crossing your arms and wishing that they would invite you to lunch, walk over there and say, are you guys going to lunch? I'd love to join you. If you are in your office and people just got back for lunch and they're laughing about some inside joke, instead of crossing your arms and wishing you're invited, go over there and say, hey, next time you guys go to lunch, I would love to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just tell them. Because I tell you what, I would not think that was weird as someone, but I might think like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, I'd probably be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't invite her, and then never forget ever again.
Yeah.
But risk that moment, because it's probably going to pay off, you know, for 52 lunches.
Like, you know what I mean? Ask for what you want, and odds are they've been there for 3 years longer than you, and have just gotten in a habit of going together.
Exactly.
And they figure, like, oh, I think Katie, like, texts her husband during lunch. I think she needs, like, that alone time or whatever.
Or they're not thinking about you
at all. I will say, don't be a horrible person and then walk over and be like, I'd love to go to lunch. And I'm like, sure you would. You have to be a pleasant person and then ask to go to lunch.
Well, just invite yourself. Yeah. Give it a go. And chances are, if they're garbage people, you don't want to go to lunch.
Right. If they decide from that, like, we still don't want you going to lunch with us.
Then you dodge a bullet. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Spend lunch with them. Right. Exactly. Problem solved both ways.
I just heard on Kendra Hennessy, our girlfriend now, her podcast.
Uh-huh.
And this is actually, she would want me to tell you that this is not her term, but she read it somewhere and she can't find it. She can't find the source. But if you can turn your FOMO into JOMO. Let's say you actually can't go to the thing.
Okay.
The joy of missing out. It's a mindset change where you have to decide, what am I getting to do right now because I'm not there that is joyful?
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. We can unpack this.
Yeah, we can unpack this.
Okay.
So I can't go to girls group this week because actually this weird thing happened and we're all going to go to the Boy Scout meeting. Pack meeting thing, which is kind of a bit of a bummer because I normally go to girls group. Oh, and they just wrote some gif in the girls group text thread that's making me feel left
out.
Someone
baked cookies and you're like, come on. Yeah.
But where are you right now? You're not at girls group, so that's already done.
Right.
So are you gonna miss out on girls group and also miss out on the Boy Scout meeting? Or can you look around and be like, oh my gosh, Emerson's in uniform. This is hilarious.
This is precious.
And he just got a belt loop thing, and he can't. He's now his pants are falling down, and it's hysterical. And all these little kids are trying to do this flag ceremony and they're dropping it and it's hilarious. And wow, it's so joyful that I get to actually be in this room. But don't also miss out on the Boy Scout meeting.
Right.
So what are you? Yeah. And then another fear that I have on the fear of missing out is if I miss out on too many things, I'll be forgotten.
And you're like invited to the club. Yeah.
Yes. And
we have a star charted girls group. We're like, if you miss two stars, you're out.
You won't be invited ever again. Yeah. There's a couple things that, a couple people that made me think about this point in real life. So I'm just going to shout them out. One is Bree Stewart. She's like this beautiful person that for some reason I thought was taken. Like I didn't ask
she
her.
She is taken. She's married, yeah, Katie.
Well, no, like friendship wise, I don't know. I assume beautiful people can't be bothered. And so at church, I was like, we're going to lunch, but I'm assuming she wouldn't want to go with us. Like that's like a positive assumption.
She wouldn't want to hang out with us.
Just me. Right. And so sometimes you don't even know why you weren't invited. It could be something like, oh, I'm not, they wouldn't want to or whatever.
I'm too pretty. I'm unapproachable.
Right. So one time I finally just went and we were like in the same place at the same time. We weren't really close friends yet. This was like very beginning, early stages. Spoiler. And I said, would you want to go to lunch with us? And she goes, we can't today, but please ask me again. I would love to go to lunch. Will you ask me next Sunday? Like, she made it a point to make, like
just like, this is a no, but it's not right. Shutting this yes, down.
Exactly. Yeah. And another person who comes to mind is Janae Hardy. I'm like, you
love
know what?
Janae. I love
she
her.
Is legitimately a very cool person, but yeah. She doesn't say yes that often. And no one forgets about her. Like, you know what I mean?
It's almost like hard to get.
I wrote down hard to get.
It's like the guy that like never dates anyone. It doesn't mean none of the girls want to date him anymore. It's
right.
Like more like, oh wow, he said they're dating. They're right. Dating. He's gonna have three girlfriends all of high school.
Yes. So I actually kind of almost think instead of thinking like, well, if I can't go, I'm no longer in. You could almost twist it. I'm going to try to teach my kids this because I do feel like I kind of figured it out in high school.
Here's how to be cool, kids.
It's like, it's almost like, oh, I'm pleasant and I would love to go, but I can't go. And maybe that's even cooler. Like, you know what I mean? Because you have so much other cool stuff going on.
Well, and the thing about Janae too, I've noticed like four things. Like she's not like not going just because she's like, I just need a mental break tonight. Like right. She's like, it'll be really intentional reasons like, I've just been trying to be with my family more or...
Or a mental break is a good... I would say that's a good...
Yeah. Reason. Yeah. Like, hey, I've had a crazy week. Like, if I be there, if I come and I'm there, I'm not going to be present.
Right.
Or she'll say, hey, I can swing by for a little bit. Like, right. she'll respond with that a lot. Right. So, like, let's say everyone else is hanging out for 3 hours and some right. sort of, like, coffee girls night or something. She'll just swing by and swing in for 30 minutes and see everyone and then head out. And I'm like, she got the best of both worlds.
Right.
She got, like, the night with her family. She didn't have to take, like, 3 hours off if she was feeling stressed that week. And she still got to, like, be involved and, like,
yeah.
say hey.
Yeah. There was a time I couldn't go to... Oh, sorry. There was a time I was speaking at Bravery Board and one of our good friends couldn't come because she had her kids. Uh-huh. She swung by 5 minutes before with flowers and said good luck with her kids and then left. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I would have been like... They're going to think I don't support them,
me.
But
they
I have all these kids.
Yeah.
She found a way to just boop, pop in. I'm grateful for you, but also I can't be here because look, I got all my kids.
And I think that's a really good point of like, they're not going to forget about you and like shun you because you missed a couple things.
Yes.
That's a stressful way to live.
That is. And honestly, maybe they're not like, it's not a healthy relationship.
If they do shun
right.
you, were they
garbage
your people?
People.
Garbage people.
Okay. So then getting into a little deeper, these are all kind of lighthearted. But there's actual really hard things. There's hard things that you can go through too. And I've had a pretty blissful life. But I mean, this is going to be like someone else's best day. But like one of the hardest things I ever went through was a miscarriage. Okay, so that time when you've miscarried and you're not pregnant again.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. But people are going to post about their pregnancies during that time. Am I going to ask everyone who's pregnant to not post about their pregnancies? Am I going to ask them to wear looser clothing and not be happy? Or am I going to log off for a bit and get my mind right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whose problem is it? Is it the internet's problem or is it mine? And yes, and maybe there's a really, really close friend where you have to say, I'm so, so happy for you right now, but it's actually really hard for me to talk about it right now. And maybe that's like that friendship thing where they can read that
right,
too.
Right.
So I'm not saying there's never a boundary that you have to set, but maybe it is okay to opt out of Instagram during a hard time instead of just going down this painful rabbit
hole. You can't control other people posting nor would you want to, but you can control yourself being on it. And I will say, as someone who has not had a miscarriage and been pregnant multiple times and have friends that are going through infertility or miscarriages or whatever, my whole thing, like my mind struggle is, do I talk about it? Do I not talk about it?
Yes.
Do I don't want to be weird and not talk about it, because it's weird to not talk about it, because clearly that's happening in my life.
Right.
But I don't want to be you're insensitive. Just like, what? Right? I don't even know where this thing that just hit you. I'm sorry. Right. I'm just eating a lot. But I think that if someone said, hey, like, I may just not talk. It's not that I'm not excited. I may just not talk to you about it for a little bit just because it's really hard for me. Yes. That would be like, oh my goodness, clarity. Yes, good. Not talking about it. I can talk. I can talk about anything.
Right.
Like, but to me, that's just what I'm feeling. Like, I was like, I don't want to make you feel like I don't want to talk about it around you, but I don't want to talk only about it around you.
Right.
It's like, you tell me what you need. And in a way, that's taking control of like a, hey, this is what's best for me. And like, I'm so excited for you. Don't invite me to the baby shower. Like, honestly, best thing you could ever say. Because I would not be like, what? They're not bringing me a present, you know?
Again, if someone does do that.
And if, yeah.
They're a garbage person.
They're a garbage person. No.
This is the new title of this episode.
Garbage person. It reminds me of Cabbage Patch, or Garbage Patch Kids, I guess. But anyway, I think that, like, asking what you want and taking control in that situation is something that not only is good for you, but like good for the other person.
Yes.
Like, just, really, hey, like, let's, I would find love out if that.
Our expectations match. They right. do. We can right. both relax.
Right now you're uncomfortable and I'm uncomfortable and everyone's not happy. Right. You know, yes. I don't know.
I think one of the most generous things you can do when a friend is going through something hard is acknowledge the thing they're going through and then say, here's what I'm planning to do. Is that the right thing to do?
Yeah. You let me know. Right.
And they can say, yeah or no. Or whatever. Okay. I've got a lot of natural skinny friends. Am I going to be irritated when they talk about how much they pigged out last night when I'm on a whole 30? Is that their problem or my problem? Because chances are I'm not going to be able to censor everyone to talk about how skinny they are. So is it in my control to get them to be less obnoxious? Or is it my control to figure out how to alter my mindset and be really positive about my own whole 30, because I'm taking control of my body, and their body actually doesn't have anything to do with my body.
Right. They could be whole 30ing too, and it still wouldn't affect
my body.
Your body.
And chances are, too, eating the garbage they're eating isn't going to help my body. So really, I kind of have to just put a wall up there and say, people be talking. They're silly. They're not really thinking about how hard this is for me, because it's not hard for them.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all fine. It's my problem, not their problem.
You're very sweet.
If your friend has an easy pregnancy and your pregnancy was really hard, is that their problem or your problem?
Yeah.
Okay. So, here is some marriage stuff.
Okay. Oh, man. You are hitting all the points.
But here's the thing. I want to make sure, because I'm married to, like, a really nice person.
Right.
So I just want to make sure, like...
This doesn't apply if you're in an abusive relationship. If you're in an abusive
or toxic relationship, like, obviously, you know that more than I do. I'm just a lady with a microphone in a library.
Just a lady with a microphone. Welcome back to NPR.
But even National my Public husband, Library. Who's very, very nice and is like, I think has a good soul, he can be moody. So can I.
Right.
We can be little like kids that throw tantrums. Like, because we felt weird that day. Like, it had really nothing to do with him.
Guys and have a time of the month, too.
Oh, yes. I think it's every 2 months. There's hormones
going on in there.
I think testosterone. My theory is it's every 2 months, and every 2 months it lines up with my 1 month, and I will have none of it. So, anyway. So here's the thing. My new mantra or whatever, my new rule of conflict resolution is that giving the silent treatment is not an option. Okay. Ooh. So here, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Jared was like,
I thought you were going to give me an example of silent treatment. I don't know if for our segment. Transfer.
Our segment today is called silent treatment. Okay. So I can't remember the altercation, but I could tell driving to church that Jared was moody. Like, sometimes you could just, you're like, ugh, he's not happy.
Not in the mood to go worship the Lord.
Well, or you know, most likely, I don't honestly can't really remember, but I could paint a picture thinking he doesn't like to be late.
Oh,
he wants all the kids to be in their best.
And you know, just trying to put mascara on for one day of the week.
Tension. Right. And anyway, and so let's say getting out of the car, you know, we're standing in the cold and Emerson takes too long and he like snapped at Emerson or something in a way that I didn't think he should or whatever. And so in my mind, in my simple chimpanzee brain, I think, I don't really like the way he did that. That's not, you know, we agreed upon parenting discipline strategies, and that's not one of them. And I'm irritated inside my brain because he snapped at my little angel boy who's just trying to
keep his
whatever
Boy Scout pants up.
And I'm already irritated because you were moody, and that was bothering me. So I'm not going to talk to you during church. I'm going to make sure you know that I can be moody, too. I'm going to, like, sit here. I'm
going to fix this by creating a second problem.
I'm going to sit here while people are, like, smiling and singing. And I'm, like, cross my arms. And when you ask me a question, I'm going to answer shortly. And
as needed only.
That way, you know that I did not agree with the way you snapped at Emerson
in
right before
the
church.
Because you remember that.
Yeah, because you probably, that was meaningful to you, too, probably. And now, you know what? That moment in the car was unpleasant, but church lasts like an hour and a half, and I'm going to ruin it.
I'm going to find a way to make this whole afternoon unpleasant.
Right, because of that thing that you didn't even register was even a mistake. So that would be like my chimpanzee brain.
Okay.
And honestly, that would probably be like my first year of marriage brain.
If there are any chimpanzees listening, I just want to say.
I'm so sorry. You guys are very smart.
Your brains are very intelligent for monkeys.
I've seen you push the button for the food and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You can throw your feces on workers. You're pretty up there.
But honestly, I do think first year of marriage, I might have been like, well, what else am I going to do? Walk in and be happy? And then he'll think I can just do that again?
Like, you're draining him.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously some consequence. Someone has to pay. And I can't think of any other appropriate way because I'm not going to, like, yell at you at church.
Because yelling and no talking are the two options.
Those are the only two options.
Right.
But as I have evolved, chimpanzee joke.
monkey joke.
I can kind of recognize it a little quicker now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's what you're basically doing right now is the silent treatment. You dummy.
Right.
This feels
like it's not helping.
And you're going to ruin church for you as well. Like, you could have a positive experience here. And also, church isn't about you, so suck it up, you weirdo. But anyway, I can recognize it and go, okay, fact, I didn't really like the way he snapped at Emerson. I either need to decide this is worth bringing up later,
right,
aside from the altercation, or grace moment. Oh, he was kind of, like, in a hurry. He didn't even realize it. And honestly, Emerson didn't really even register it. It was, like, the only person hurt was me because it was, like, one of the discipline strategies that I was, like, I don't like it when you phrase things in that way or whatever. It's pretty specific. So either I need to actually pursue it healthily later.
Right.
Or let it go, which is a great option.
Like you did like, with the car wrecks. It's like, there's a scratch there. Can you really tell? Is it worth going through the whole filing of the insurance and the whole deal if it's not really worth it?
If Jared, whatever, I wish I had like a really specific example, it'd been easier to done. But if that was like a habit of Jared's,
right,
and like 30 times a day he was whatever snapping at people, then that's a little bit different. I mean, maybe you don't let it go then. Maybe it's like a, hey, let's sit and like reevaluate the way we discipline.
If it's a pattern.
Then, yeah, sure, take action. But I feel like in my marriage, 9 times out of 10, the option to let it go is the best one. Like, it really is, because he's a good guy. And right. So unless it's, like, an actual, like, now we're coming up on something new that we have to navigate, like, just let it go. It's not a habit. It's not a pattern, whatever.
And usually it's, you can trace it back to, like, oh, we were all stressed out because we were running late and we were, and you can be like, so it wasn't probably really Emerson. It was that came out because of the other.
Right.
Circumstances involved.
So, I kind of did that in my brain about 5 seconds into the silent treatment. And I was like, oh, okay. And I realized this is like kind of the statement, I guess, that I'm memorizing now is my happiness is my responsibility.
Ooh.
So am I going to be happy at church because of something Jared did? Am I going to give him that power over my own happiness? wow, that's pretty weak. I'm a weak person if I can let a whole different human affect the next hour and a half for how I'm experiencing right. church. That's actually, it seems strong because you're like, I'm not giving in. I'm stubborn. But it's actually really weak. It's actually like a weak person. It looks like
you're injuring yourself.
Yes. Like it seems like, wow, if that is all it takes for you to be in a bad mood, you don't, you know, have very good self health, I guess.
I've said this in situations like that, or when someone gets their feelings really hurt that they don't get invited to a sleepover or whatever. Right. Like when I was in high school, I think I've said this before, but, or when I coached cheerleading for like junior high girls, I would always say if they got their feelings hurt from someone, and it applies to you and Jared sitting in church, but it's like, they're not thinking about this. They've gone on with their life
right.
and they're enjoying the church service.
Yeah, wait
they're a minute. Having fun at the sleepover yeah. or they're, you know, they're doing whatever it is. And right. the only person that's miserable right now is you.
Uh-huh.
So you're mad that they did something and then now you're being miserable because of it. So it's like a lose-lose for you.
Right.
Whereas if you were just like, it's kind of like the JOMO. Like, well, what is my, well, I get to hang out with my parents and they're probably going to buy me pizza because it's Friday night. Instead right. of being like, I don't have anything to do on Friday night.
Exactly.
It just turns into like,
fortunately, my parents are cool.
Yeah.
That's what my kids will say.
Then, right.
Hopefully.
right.
The quote from the beginning, the happiness is an attitude. We either make ourselves miserable or happy and strong.
Yep.
The amount of work is the same. You're doing work in your brain either way. You want to put some positive stuff in there or you want to put some negative stuff.
You're feeding the beast.
You're feeding the beast either way. Okay. So then just some more about conflict resolution. This is what I find works really well for me and Jared is if silent treatment is no longer an option and now you have to choose take action or let it go. And when you say let it go, be like Elsa.
Really let it go.
Let it go. Really go.
Don't let it go until you get annoyed again. Then you're like, it's on the list.
Yeah, that's fact.
It's on my mental list.
If you're annoyed again because it's the same altercation right, again, the same then thing. Go, okay, well, then I'm not going to let it go, but how do I, so here's
the... I'm talking about, like, you left your socks out again and at church last weekend.
Right.
You
right.
snapped an Emerson in the car. And he's like, wait, what? How does right. that, how did the sock get to the snapping? Right. Yeah.
Okay, so let's pretend, should we do it the socks? Should we do socks just for fun?
We could do socks.
Let's say it is the socks, and it's every single day. And a socks is not a terribly emotional thing.
It's
but
not
you,
socks. It's one sock. Like, the other one's missing, yeah. and you're just like, where did the other sock go?
You could be the wife who decides the sock is a symbol, and it's a symbol of how much you don't care about me. I have learned, as the sock leaver, it's usually not personal. It's usually just their big dummy.
I've been annoyed about, like, the socks and, like, white t-shirt in the bathroom, and then once I realized...
Oh,
okay,
mine.
Me... No, no. But I'm like, me picking these up and carrying them 3 yards into the... like dirty clothes, which is like not exciting for my day.
Right.
But the amount of effort that takes. And then I realized, why did he leave the socks in here? Oh, it's because he was out late working on our house and came right. home and we were all asleep and he was trying not to wake anyone up. So he left his stuff there. So you have to go into her room and because we're all living in one room, you know, but you, right. if you process through it like a normal human, you're
empathy?
Like, oh, I see why he did that. And that was yeah. because he cares and loves us and not because he was like disrespecting me with his socks.
Right. Okay, so let's say it's the socks, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I should have come up with an actual altercation because it would have been so
bowl
juicy.
Bowl of cereal out. John, we don't do that, but I hear other people do. Food.
Okay, so here are the rules in my own world that I just made up.
Okay.
If you can have this conversation separate from the moment of the altercation, it usually goes better.
Yes.
So if it's kind of like a... If it's in the moment, it's probably going to be snappier than if it's like... Hey, I've been thinking about this for a little while, and I just want to talk to you about something.
Right, I'm not upset about it. I just want to let you know how I feel.
Whatever. Yeah. Versus, chances are, if you find a sock and you go, "You left your sock," it's gonna be snappier than, "Hey, I want to talk to you about something." This is really dumb if it's about a sock.
It's about some socks.
It's about some socks. Okay, separate from the altercation. Okay, say what you need as plainly. As possible.
Oh,
without
this is
any extra fancy
what?
Little passive aggressive slams.
Oh, I need to take notes.
If you need the sock to be in the laundry basket, you could say things like, "Hey, what can I do to help you remember getting your sock into the laundry basket?" Instead of like a, "You always leave your socks on the floor and you don't appreciate me."
And you don't appreciate me. What did I ever do to you?
But really, you learned it in grade school. If you can use iMessages, I feel I'm making up, or Brene Brown, here's the story I made up. I made up this really dumb story in my brain that when I see a sock on the floor, it means you don't love me. I realize that's ridiculous. But when I see the sock, I feel unloved.
Right.
Is there any way, is there a new system? Is there a different place I should put the laundry basket? Like, what can we do to get those socks in that laundry basket?
Yeah.
Instead of starting with you.
Or defensive, or you've done this, yes. You did that, you did, yeah.
There's something in our house we call fighting words. And honestly, this morning, Jared goes, hey, are you ever going to cash that check? Which is fighting words to me. Are you ever going to? And I said, what check?
That means like I've been waiting and waiting right. And I just keep checking.
I said, what check? And he said, the client. And I said, I've been waiting for that check for whatever. And he goes, you never get the mail. How would you know if you've been paid or not? And I go, pause.
Never?
I said, pause. And he goes, what? And I said, every single one of those sentences were fighting words. And he goes, okay, yeah.
My guest says, hey, have you been paid for that? I'm looking forward to the check.
I didn't know that check was there. I actually followed up with the client yesterday asking for the check. And he goes, well, I've been carrying around my briefcase. I said, okay, so the reason is...
You were holding. You kidnapped my check.
No. He goes, the altercation is we have mail in too many places. We need an inbox where we all dump the mail and then we can all sort through it. If half the mail's in your briefcase or your truck or the kitchen, things are going to go fall through the cracks. I'm not mad at you. And he goes, I'm not mad at you. And I go, cool. So like objectively speaking, we just need a better spot for the mail.
Right. We just are all trying to get those checks in the bank. Trying to get the checks in the bank.
Direct deposit, people. That's the rule.
Do you deposit on your phone to your bank?
I have never done that, but I'm sure.
Okay, Katie. My life. I have not driven a check to the bank in years, Katie.
I know my kids love the suckers, though.
Well, their teeth will thank you. Their dentist will thank you. No, you'll still go to the bank, but just don't deposit your checks in the bank. Do it online.
That's the only reason I...
Do it online.
Okay, well, I'll do it
today. I'll buy you a bag of dum-dums. Okay.
But now I feel real dumb.
Whenever you cash a check on your phone, just hand out the dum-dums to all your kids.
Okay, so fighting words. They'll sneak up on you because it kind of like, we weren't even mad at each other. And honestly, it wasn't even like a fight. But he chose to start a sentence with you.
Uh-huh.
He used words like ever and never, which are all, or always, like any of those are trigger words of like, I've got this list of crap that I keep track of.
Right.
And you did it again. Right.
If you want to know what a fighting word is.
Yeah.
Next time you get irritated at your spouse or a coworker or your parent.
Right.
Think of the first thing you want to say.
Those are the fighting words.
And then edit it out.
Don't say them.
Write down that first sentence you thought of. That was the fighting word because it's very natural. To come up with fighting words, I found.
Right. Are you ever going to cash that check?
You always leave your socks out.
Could sound just like, babe, did you know this check was here? Do you think you could get around to cashing it today?
Or like, hey, the check came in, and I've been carrying it around in my briefcase. You should cash it, hun.
I don't feel like I recited that accurately. He's not an idiot.
Did he steal the check?
No.
He put it in his briefcase?
No, but sometimes the mail does end up in his briefcase because he is the one that gets the mail. Our mail, it's country stuff. Our mail's way far away.
You have to drive to their mailbox.
And he usually drives it and picks it up. So it's honestly, he probably meant to say...
The mail had been sitting in the mailbox too long, and then he had just carried it back in.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, actually.
It's not important.
The point is, we need a better system for our mail. And that's just an objective thing that doesn't actually equal that either of us are irritated or whatever. Yeah. Neither of us are idiots. Neither of us are negligent.
Neither of us were... You weren't even really mad at each other.
And we weren't actually even mad at each other. But I can sense when fighting words start to pile, you go, what are we doing? Why did we just... I don't even care about this.
And that's what happens if you ever escalate into like a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Right.
Like... Where it's like, it like explodes into like this is gonna, we're gonna be mad all night.
Yeah.
Usually you're like, why are we even fighting? Like, why did this start? Uh-huh. And usually it's because someone had fighting words that they didn't edit out. And instead of the other person throwing water on those and being like, hey, I feel like the phrases you're using are not appropriate, they just come back with more fighting words. Uh-huh. And then it escalates and it snowballs into like a massive fight.
So anyway, so that was kind of a little bit of a tangent, but silent treatment's not an option. What is actually in your control? Is Jared in control of me enjoying church?
No.
Or am I in control of me enjoying church? Is Shaylee in control of her metabolism being better than mine? Or am I in control of reacting to Shaylee making some one-off joke about eating too many Oreos? And then losing
I don't
weight.
Even like Oreos that much. And I don't lose them. It's slowed down, Katie.
A lot of your attitude is in your actual control.
Yes.
Invite yourself to lunch. Jen Fortner again said in her episode, I want to have the type of friends that would just stop by and bring me a coffee. So she went and bought a coffee and brought it to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Jen said she wanted to go to Iceland. And you know what I said? I would love to go with you.
I want to go to Iceland too.
She said, you should. That's the only reason I ended up in Iceland is because we invited ourselves. It's not everyone's just sitting around making plans without you. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of action and say what you would enjoy out loud.
And if you're the person on the outside that didn't go to like the trip or the cool thing or the lunch or whatever, instead of being like, man, and make up this big story about how like they were all like, so we're three of the coolest best friends. Let's go to lunch and not invite Katie.
Good thing we're out at the Max.
It could have just been something like, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get lunch. And someone goes, hey, I need to go get lunch too. Where are you headed? And then they're like getting lunch all of a sudden.
Right.
And you didn't hear that part. And then you didn't say, me too. I'm hungry too. And instead you're like, they planned that without me. It wasn't some like scheme usually.
Yes.
Unless you're literally in the movie Mean Girls. And then, you know, I'm sorry about your life. People.
I just now, just literally, we talked about how I was talent on a shoot and you were the video producer.
Uh-huh.
I was the backup.
They
asked the other girl in our show if she could do it and she couldn't. So I had a choice to be like, well, now I'm mad.
They didn't want me. I'm second choice.
But guess what? I just went, that makes sense because she's dating the guy in the scene.
The guy that was just supposed to be her husband.
Okay, cool. Yeah. If she can come, I get to do this now? Sweet.
Cool.
Like, you know what I mean? You can assume the worst or you can assume the best, but by assuming the best, I got to be in the shoot.
Yeah.
And it was really fun.
It was fun. You did a good job.
Thanks.
Katie.
Okay, so I just want to empower you, and here's a couple more quotes.
Okay. Oh, quotes. I love quotes.
You don't have a right to the cards you believe you should have been dealt.
Mm.
You have an obligation to play the hell out of the ones you're holding, though.
Ooh.
Cheryl Strayed, and she has one more.
Okay.
She cusses in her.
I was like, you said a bad word.
This one actually has a bad word. Should I bleep it or not? Audience?
I would say edit.
The best thing you can possibly do with your life is tackle the mother out of it. Okay, this one's from George Eliot.
Okay, you got the quotes.
There's no more cuss.
Okay, good. I was sweating.
It is never too late to be who you might have been. These are just supposed to be empowering.
Okay.
You can take control of your own personality. So my challenge to you, dear listener,
mm-hmm.
What is one thing in your circle of influence today? What is one thing you actually do have control over? Or what is one desire you have that you might get just by saying it out loud to someone? Yeah?
Yeah.
Invite yourself to lunch.
Invite yourself to lunch.
Enjoy church. Don't make it your husband's job for you to enjoy church.
Right. Or like life. When people are like, I'll be happy when.
It's a metaphor.
And a husband. It's like, well, that person's not going to magically make you a happy person.
If you're missing out on something, what are you enjoying right now because you're missing out on it?
Oh, that's so good. Someone told me, it was an old client that heard from one of her mentors, which is actually, fun fact, Karen, our friend's father-in-law. But it was just like going through the sphere of influence. And it was like the different levels, like a outer space or like a Saturn.
Yeah, I found it, but I couldn't figure out how to like talk about it.
So it's basically like, it's literally what is in your control is kind of like the theme of it. And it's, you are in control of yourself, which is like what you were saying.
Right.
So you have to decide every time there's an issue, you're like, what can I control here? I can control myself,
right.
Which is exactly what you're saying. And then there's the second level,
uh-huh.
Which is, who am I not in control of, but I can influence?
Right.
That would be like a friend or a husband or a coworker, where you're like, I can control myself to react this way.
Right.
And try to influence that person to have a better attitude,
right.
Or to handle it that way or whatever. Or by saying, hey, I know this isn't what you're trying to do, but this is how it's making me feel. So
right.
Like, is there a way? Or the coworker like, hey, I know you're not trying to take all my pencils every day, but when all my pencils are gone, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
So you're trying to like influence them by your positive actions to do what you want them to do, essentially.
Right.
But you can't control them.
Right.
So
kids.
If they don't,
parenting.
Kids. Kids are in your sphere of influence.
Right.
So They're not in your sphere of control. You cannot control your kids. They're humans. You can't
decide that they want to be a good person either.
Right. So there's like, so that's the like, worry about it a little bit, but use, instead of trying to control all them, control yourself to right. influence them in the best way that you can to make good choices as well. And then there's the other sphere.
Yeah.
Which is everything outside of that, which is completely not inside of any of your control at all, which is the woman that hit you with a car and then was like, how are we going to deal with this? So that's like the people on the outside, the stranger that doesn't know you and like, and honks at you at the gas station for no reason or something. That's, it's like ruins your whole day. And you're like, wait, I don't know that person. I can't control that person. Has nothing to do with me. They're not even in my sphere of influence. I couldn't even really influence right. them.
Even if I tried.
Even if I tried. So like, that's everything that's completely, that's getting sick with an ailment. That's right. everything outside of your control. Don't even waste energy worrying about that or trying to whatever, because it comes back to like, you can only control your sphere.
Yes.
Okay. So for our segment today, I have thought while you were talking, and I'm going to take control of this episode and I'm going to call it a term I created.
Oh.
FOMO to JOMO.
Whoa, that was you?
That was me.
Oh, full circle.
FOMO, fear, shh, don't say her name. Fear of missing out to JOMO, which I created, not Kendra.
Uh-huh.
Joy of missing out. So I'm going to give you a FOMO situation.
Okay.
And then you have to tell me the joy. And this might be too close to home.
Oh.
But I'm going to go there.
I'm scared.
I'm going to make you do a real one. Okay. This may sound like I'm rubbing it in. I don't want it to come off mean. There's a Saturday morning. And you're kind of itching to get out of the house. But you don't know if there's anything going on. And you have all the kids all day. And you want to do something. Uh-huh. Unknown to you, I thought, I'm going to take Opal to the local coffee shop just up the street. And as I'm strolling out of my house, Jen walks by with her kids and their stroller.
Aww.
She's like, hey, where are you going? I was like, I was going to go up to the coffee place. And she's like, me too. Aww. And then we were like, let's go together. And then as we're walking together, like, millennial moms do. We start Instagram storying it.
Yeah.
And we have this caravan of kids, and it's your worst nightmare coming to life. And you're like,
my dream coming to life.
Well, I know. But you're like, I'm trapped at the farm. No one invited me.
Yeah.
They're going to get coffee, which is exactly what I could do. I would want to be doing right now if I could pick anything that I'd want to be invited to. It would be to go get coffee. They didn't give me enough time. And now even if I text them and say, hey, I'm coming too, by the time I get there,
yeah.
They'll already be done, and you don't even know the backstory of how it started and happened.
Well, first of all, yes.
Not saying I love this garbage person, but yeah, this is a very real, could happen.
This has happened. Maybe not with you and Jen, but with one of the other Pleasantville dwellers. I'm going to level with you guys. My action may not match my brain at first.
That's okay.
So my brain would start in my lower self, literally lower, the lower part of your brain is the worst part of you.
It's the garbage brain.
Yes, garbage. And then it goes up to your higher self. I would think, they're walking together. They're my friends. They're together without me. I'm sad. Because I'm a human being.
Right, right.
Then I would do some self-talk. And I would think, oh, you know what? They live right next to each other. That makes sense.
She was probably going on her own.
She was probably she going by on her own. And they she walked by. Or they said, do you want to go over there?
And it was like a 5 minutes. Hey, I'm heading in 5 minutes. Yep. You want to go?
Yeah. Oh, that makes complete sense. If I lived there, I would do the exact same thing. Then, more positive. I love both of these people in this Instagram story. I'm glad they're having a good day. Then, I would log off.
Wait, you're switching into the JOMO. This is where she's transitioning.
And I would look around at where I am. And I would think, oh my goodness, you know why they're outside? Because it's nice today. I didn't even check the weather because it was terrible yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, because I looked at their story, I'm realizing that it's walking weather. Kids, do you want to go work on our nature trail?
Yes, Mom!
We would all go outside and we would go. It's right now it's like, oh, it's not very long. And we would go out there and I would say, let's try to collect one of each color fall leaf. And I'd make a little activity, and I'd think, you know what is so cool? Is that I can go on a walk in my own backyard. Man, I'm blessed.
Too stressed to be blessed.
Too stressed to be blessed. Wait.
Too blessed to be stressed. It's too blessed to be stressed.
Nailed it. But I will just add, this is just, I'm just being real. The whole positive thing, turning it into lemon lemonade thing, like, it's actually not that strenuous for me to do, most of the time. But I think like any other person, you go through seasons where that, like if you are going through a mourning period or something that is like a difficult time, it may be harder for you to turn those into lemonade all the time and to take control and to see the JOMO. There's times in your life where it could be more challenging than others. So if you've ever seen me log off of Instagram for 3 months at a time,
Multiple times.
It's usually because I don't feel like going through all that self-talk every dang day. Or I'm like, you know, I'm struggling with my own business goals and I don't really want to be completely just...
You don't want to watch Kelsey launch another e-course.
Yeah, exactly. Even though I love Kelsey and happy for her, but I don't have the mental capacity to go through that exercise every new post that I see. So I just also want to say that that is an option. It's okay to go through times where you're like, and this is just a little bit of a season where I opt out of some of that stuff.
Totally.
And then there's other parts where it's, you know, I'm back in and it's automated. It's like very easy to be positive. So
that's
I get it. It's not, I'm not like 100% all the time, but.
But you're like 99.9.
I'm like 99.9.
Guys, go out there and control yourself.
Sorry about the cuss word quote.
They're working. They're talking themselves through what they can control. And they realize that they can't control what your mouth says.
Makes sense.
But they're powering through.
I was quoting Cheryl.
It was Cheryl.
Cheryl Strayed.
It was a Katie.
It was funny.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.